She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 186, How to Turn Obstacles into Motivation When Quitting Your Job, with Emily and Abigail from Think Creative Collective.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Oh, hey, friends. Before we dive into today's episode of the podcast, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, RX Bar. And if you guys have been following along, you know that I have mentioned them in the past. And when they reached out to partner, I was super excited because I absolutely love the RX Bars. It is a whole food protein bar, and there's absolutely no BS, no added sugar, no gluten, no soy, no dairy. I always buy a ton of them to put in my bag, especially when I travel, because sometimes you can't always find healthy options at airports. And I love them all. I love the peanut butter one, the chocolate chip. They are so good. So if you haven't tried them, make sure to head on over to rxbar.com/herway to receive 25% off your first order. Again, that's rxbar.com/herway. Hey, She Did It Her Way podcast listeners. I am so excited for you guys to tune into this podcast episode coming up next with Abigail and Emily Williams from Think Creative Collective. I had a blast sitting down with them and hearing about their story and their journey on how they came together to launch Think Creative Collective. And we dive deep into how they actually found themselves there and how they met and what it is that they actually do, along with a really exciting new project that they have coming up that you guys all must get involved with. So coming up next, Emily and Abigail from Think Creative Collective. All right. We're back with another episode for the podcast, and I am welcoming the two co-founders of Think Creative Collective, Miss Abigail and Miss Emily. Welcome to the show. Hi, guys. Yeah, it's fun. It was like the roles are flipped this time. Uh-huh. As I got to hang out on your guys' podcast, and now you guys are hanging out on She Did It Her Way. To get our listeners up to speed, if they haven't heard of Think Creative Collective, share us a little bit about each of you individually, and then we'll talk about how Think Creative Collective was born, and then we'll dive into your business and your offerings, talk about some of your growing pains as an entrepreneur, and we'll just dive right in. So Abigail or Emily, take it away.
Yeah. So this is Abigail speaking, by the way, if you haven't heard my lovely voice before. I have a background in design. So my background goes like all the way back to the college days. I had a fine art degree, and I came out roaring, hoping to get a design job, like thinking I wanted to do like the whole agency life and work for big national brands that everyone's heard of. And I came out and ended up working for a small agency and quickly found out that that was not the life I wanted to live. And so I decided to try like every other type of design before I ended up where I am today. So I ended up in a nonprofit. I ended up working in-house design. I even worked at a startup and eventually got laid off in 2015. And at that point in time, I had climbed the corporate ladder and kind of made my way in Kansas City and really found my place, but ultimately knew that working for someone else wasn't where I wanted to be for the rest of my life. And so I initially started my own branding and design company. And that was just a few months before I met Emily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I go all the way back to college days as well, of graduating, getting accepted to grad school. I was going to head and get my master's in social work and eventually wanted to become a college professor. 2 weeks before class started, I walked away. I unenrolled and I moved back home and had one of my like crisis moments of living in the guest bedroom of my Nana's house, not knowing what to do. I grew up in a family of like accidental entrepreneurs, meaning I was the first person to go to college. So the businesses that the people in my family had run were like the only thing that they could do. We're talking like repairing cars, cleaning houses status. So I didn't want that to be my journey, but I needed to control something. And I just flat out couldn't get a job. You have a degree in fine arts photography and a minor in psychology and a minor in multicultural studies. Like what is out there for you? Graduated in a recession. So there just wasn't anything. So I started a cupcake business like everyone does, right? That's the natural next step. And that failed, and picked up my camera, which I had, you know, was born with a camera in my hand practically, and started turning that into an actual business, and eventually was a successful five-figure photographer in a small town in Oklahoma, and loved working with other photographers, showing them that they could charge a premium rate, that they could create an experience, that they could sell without being weird or gross. And I love telling people what they were doing wrong in their own businesses. And I'd always dreamed of doing that in my real life. And so Abby and I met in a Facebook group, and we had communicated on a thread and helped cheer each other on social media, and realized that we were really sending the same message to creatives of charge what you're worth. You can charge a premium. Here's how you can word that. Here's how you can actually make a living doing this thing that you love to do. And we connected on that, like on a really, really deep level. We hosted a webinar together, co-sold a course. It went awesome. We loved it. Within 2 weeks of knowing each other, I drove 4 hours and stayed at her house and like spent the night with her and her husband and hoped to not get murdered. And I didn't. We brainstormed and dreamed on the floor of her office, and those conversations led to us opening TCC as a marketing and branding boutique first, initially in September of 2015. So we're offering photography, design, and marketing for creative small business owners. That eventually turned to us doing leaving one-on-one client work and doing 100% online course selling in January of 2016. And now here we are.
Here we are. Yes. I have a couple dive-in questions based on your guys' journey. Abigail, when you got laid off, what was your emotional reaction? And then what was the actual tactical, practical step that you took to really figure out and think, okay, what's my next step? How did you move through that phase in your life?
Sure. So as far as emotional, I think most people who get laid off, and, you know, I think unless you're totally dense, you typically sense it coming. And so there was some changes happening internally and some red flags that I saw. And so I just knew there was change coming. And I didn't know if it meant I was going to lose my job, if I was going to get fired, if ultimately my role in the company was going to change, if the company was going to go under. Like, the whole thing was just crazy. And so I was definitely leery and definitely concerned, but it wasn't necessarily for me. It was like the fate of all these people. And when I got laid off, it wasn't just me that got laid off. The entire marketing department got laid off at the same time. So
who needs marketing anyways?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not necessary for a growing business.
That is so crazy that they would lay off the entire... What? Okay, anyway, that's another podcast episode.
Yeah. So they laid off the entire department at the same time. And so if you know anything about me personally, I feel for other people. So I was not really concerned for myself. I was like, oh my God, Joe knows nothing about how to get another job. He's going to end up on the streets. Like, he's doing comic
Joe.
Shows on nights and weekends, and like, his wife is, well, she's now his wife. She wasn't at the time. She's like working at just a school, and like, they just bought a house. Like, how are they going to afford a house? And like, I mean, and then this other woman, she just sent her kids off to college. And then this other woman, like, she had previously been out of work for a year. And so I literally did not care about my own future at the time, which is totally crazy and ridiculous. But I was like, you know what? I really don't, I'm tired of this bullshit. Like, I'm tired of like all these things happening that I can't control. And I had seen a lot of things that I, in my opinion, felt like were illegal or
shady,
very unethical, if not illegal, happening. And they were still out of my control. And so, yeah, I still had to market a company and work for a company that ultimately I was concerned was breaking the law. And that was just, I was like so glad. Like, it was almost a relief at the end of the day. And so I was like, I could go work for someone else. Like, I could get a job. I was a go-getter. I had already marketed myself to high heaven, and I had recruiters calling me within like a day of getting laid off, and had interviews and all this stuff, but it just wasn't where my heart was. I was like almost self-sabotaging all the opportunities that were coming my way because I really, really wanted to run my own show. And so it really came down to having this conversation with my husband where I was like, you know what? I want to run my own business. Can you trust me? Like, here's kind of my game plan. If I can't make X amount by X date, I'll look for a job. And so he kind of gave me that trust. And within 30 days, I completely replaced my income. And I was making more than he was. So we were off to the races.
Yeah, that's some race, girlfriend. Good job. I'm going to come back to that. I want to talk a little bit more about the 30 days and just specific things that you've done. But first, Emily, you said, I know you've probably shared this story time and time again. So to say, yeah, 2 weeks in, I walked away and that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Take us back to that moment. And that's a big decision. And I'm sure there was a lot of external pressure, similar external pressures when anyone decides to quit their job and start a company. What allowed you to rise above the external pressures and just put us back in that moment?
Well, I think, you know, walking away was a big deal for me, but like I said, I was the first person in my family to go to college. And so I'd already checked that off. I had wrapped that up. I had pleased everyone for doing that thing. Going above and beyond that was just like icing on the top. I come from a very, very supportive family of trusting in our intuition, trusting in your gut, and really knowing, like, deep down, you're going to know what's right for you. I was also living about 9 hours away from my mom at the time. I went to school and I went to Mizzou. And so Columbia, Missouri is about 9 hours away from Tulsa, where my mom is. And that was really hard for me. I had grown up with divorced parents living in separate states, and I had been seeing her every other weekend and every other summer for practically my entire life. And the call of being closer to her was a lot greater than me going to school in St. Louis, which was even further away from her. There was just so many things pointing me to, like, it doesn't feel right. I like barely made it out of college, like with good grades and alive and healthy. So why would I put myself through that again? So I literally just told her, I called her one day and was like, I'm not going. And she was like, okay, well, you do need a U-Haul. Like, what are we doing? And so that part made it easy. The support from my family really made it easy. But I went home, and I think at that point was just kind of like, I was still in that zone of a college student of like, do I just get like a part-time job and kind of figure this out? So that's what I did. I worked part-time at a bakery and was running my own kind of like cupcake bakery thing. But my family really just lets me experiment and lets me make mistakes, because I definitely made a ton of them at that point. And my mom was just really, I think, excited to have me back home. And we do a lot together. And so she was a big part of that journey. But making those mistakes, realizing that a cupcake business, although I could stuff my face with cupcakes all day, is not something that I wanted to be doing and running. You just have to try it to know those things.
Mm-hmm. So, Abigail, what was it about the 30 days? What did you do in the 30 days that allowed you to replace your income and then some? Things that you could share with the audience.
So I think the big thing was, like, I didn't make any excuses for myself, and I was willing to do anything to make it work. Mostly because I felt like I had this timeline of like, I have to prove it to other people. And A, I hate that. Like, I don't like having to do that. But I work well under pressure, especially when the pressure is like outside of myself. So it felt like other people were holding me to it. So I started a website first. I had actually started that and started blogging before I got laid off because I could feel it coming. And I mean, like literally it was only two or three weeks. Like, I mean, obviously I could tell it was like on its way. And so I put a website up in a weekend, started blogging 5 days a week, which sounds totally absurd. And honestly, the website was not how I ultimately got clients. I got clients because I was willing to make connections and I was willing to go out of my way to find people that needed my help. And I had a strong background in branding and I could do pretty much anything. And I know people are always like, niche down, be specific, all this stuff. I literally would do anything that would make a buck. So like, if someone wanted a banner that was 8 feet tall and 3 feet wide, like I would find a vendor and figure it out. Like if someone wanted a brochure, like we're doing it. If someone wanted a full website, okay, I'm on it. Like I didn't really care what it was because ultimately I just needed the cash. And so I found a couple clients right away and sold them on a kind of bigger package and got them to pay me up front, 50% down. And so that really kind of helped me get started. And I didn't have any out of pocket expenses ever. Like I had a zero debt business from day one and was able to like hit the ground running that way.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And so, Emily, for you, you started the cupcake business, then you picked up a camera, then you started shooting, and then now you've moved into an online space. What has it been like, or from your experience, the ability, mindset to go from one thing to the next, to not slow down, not get caught up in the minutia of things or what goes on between our ears?
Well, I think, you know, we talk about this with our audience all the time is recognizing where that pivot could be in your business. And we talked about a little bit on our episode with you of that pivot, constantly paying attention to how you can tweak your business just slightly or add an additional arm or try something new where you're not burning the whole thing down and starting from scratch. And so for me, like burning the whole cupcake business down and starting from scratch, like that was a big, like that there was no break off from that. But I used those same clients that I had and said, hey, I just made cupcakes for your kids' parties. Like, don't you guys want a family session? And like starting to talk to them about photography. So just offering them something different. I did photography for 4 or 5 years before I really like switched from that. Within that realm of becoming a photographer, I was, you know, at the beginning, a lot like Abby, where I would shoot seniors, weddings, engagement, babies, families, like everything, anyone that would come in my door. Yes, yes, yes. I can do it and I can figure it out. From that, you identify what you're good at and what you hate doing. So taking those type of services off my website, not talking about them, not marketing them, et cetera. But I realized that I just needed to get better at selling and at marketing instead of getting better at being a photographer. And that's ultimately what would make me more money and make me a more successful business owner. So when I started paying attention to that, that's when I really got knee deep into like, oh crap, like, I really like talking about strategy and really figuring out these details and really like brainstorming this type of stuff. And one of my pivots as a photographer, I was starting to do less and less family sessions. Ultimately, I was just doing lifestyle family like towards the end of my days. And I was working with more and more creatives. And so I knew I was like, okay, I think I want to work with other businesses. And I just don't know in what capacity yet. So in the same realm of like doing what you know first, I pivoted as a photographer. So I would reach out to lifestyle bloggers and other creative small business owners who maybe had like paper goods or planners or party supplies. And I would say, let me shoot your products. Let me do a styled shoot with your stuff. Like, let's go to Tuesday morning and like make a session and style it up for your blog. Let me shoot it. And let me help you stylize it. And maybe that's what I'll like doing. And I loved it, but I realized, okay, I'm chatting more with them about strategy than I want to be picking up my camera. So now let's pivot to offer like some coaching sessions with them. Maybe I want to do like social media marketing with them. Maybe I want to figure that out. So it was all these just tiny, tiny, small changes of how you're helping that person or who you're talking to, and instead of like drastically changing your entire business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do remember you saying in the interview that we did for your podcast about having so many balls up in the air, but having the over, like constantly tweaking yes. on the micro level then, yes. and being patient to wait for change to actually happen and just constantly iterate to figure out what you like, what you don't
yeah,
like.
Yeah, because I could not have known, and Abby and I could not have put into words when we first started our own business as a photographer, designer, or whatever, oh, eventually I want to be hosting webinars and teaching people online. Like, that wasn't even in my vocabulary. That wasn't even something that I could do. And so you have to see where these small opportunities are for you to maybe shift your business just a little bit, just to try it and see if that's even what you like doing, adding on a different kind of umbrella or a different arm, and seeing what that opportunity then opens up for you in the future.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. So now then when you guys came together, you launched Think Creative Collective, I love how your website is laid out where you have a start here and then people can decide dashboard, courses, resource, blog, podcast, contribute. So it really breaks it down for the person who jumps on your site, and you guys offer a lot of business resources and tools and strategy. And I know one thing that you guys have coming up is 4 days to sexy system. So tell us about you know, this challenge and the thing and the offering that you guys have coming up next.
So we decided that, I mean, we are productivity gurus at the end of the day. Like, that is our jam. Like, we figured out long time ago that as much as we love running our businesses and teaching other people, we really like organizing stuff and making it beautiful and making it work for you. Like, because if you have a mess and it's like all over the place and you're constantly looking for things, or you're constantly like, where's that piece of paper where I wrote down what I need to do today? Like, you're gonna get lost in the minutiae and you're going to get so down the rabbit hole of working on things that aren't necessarily applicable to your goals or your priorities and where you want your business to move. So we put together this awesome challenge that's going to help you go from a little bit of a hot mess express, even if you already have a system in place, mm-hmm. and just make you more organized so that you can tackle the rest of the year with ease.
Yeah, because it's not just about your organization of your systems. Like, that's a big part of it, like your day-to-day. A lot of people think of that as just like your planner, your day-to-day, and what does that look like? But we truly like believe that there's a formula and there's a structure and a system and a workflow for every single piece of your business. That's social media, that's pricing, that's marketing, that's launching, that's growing your email list, all of those things. As long as they have a process and a system, they're going to be able to get done and get done really well, so you can really see the results of those things and know what to pivot and what to tweak in your business when you're faced with those opportunities of, okay, maybe this is something I can go down in my business. So inside the challenge, we're getting your systems in check. We're prioritizing, we're planning, and we're especially planning for profit, because that's our big thing. That's the foundation of how we even started. Tackling your actual week, so not overwhelming yourself, like literally how do you get the things done in your business every single day, and then really setting up your system for sustainable success in the future.
Question for you guys is, when you guys do your big planning, so it's now August 2017, or have you guys started looking at 2018, or how do you, and like, what are some of the questions that you ask yourself to really determine, okay, what's the focus? How do we break it down? What are the goals that you want to hit? Or maybe that's what you guys are going to talk about in the challenge too.
No, that's a great question. I think the awesome part of that question is that it's changed every year in business for us of how we look at our goals based off where we are in our business and how we plan for the future. So it used to be, okay, how many clients do we need? How much money do we need to make? How many client work versus how many, you know, passive, I put that in quotes, like courses, webinars, whatever. What do we want that to look like? Okay, run it, implement it, do it. What's the foundation that we can grow, like the future of TCC? Run it, implement it, do it. And then it shifted when we're doing courses. Okay, how many times can we launch? What else can we create? How many times can we market it differently? What are those brainstorming strategy things? When are all of those things happening? But now that we've like really figured out the hierarchy of our programs and really figured out how to launch better, and because we did it so much last year, we've been able to actually look at our year of not the financial goal of what we want to reach, because we've reached those and that's awesome and that's incredible, but what's kind of the lifestyle goal? How many times do we want to be launching? What else do we want to be doing in the meantime? What else can we as CEOs start to do to grow the sustainability of our business instead of just the here and now? I think the first 2 years were very focused on the how can we get results right now that are also going to like last us. But now it's how are we making bigger changes for the future to really like solidify this thing as a business that's going to stick around?
Well, and not just like over the next year, the next couple of years, but like thinking about where do we want our business to be like organizationally? Like how many people do we want on our team? What are their job descriptions? When are we going to hire? And like, I mean, we have a pretty large team as it is, but is everybody in the right roles? Do we need to be shifting people around? Or do they need to take on new responsibilities? Or do we need to divide things up? And I think it's been interesting because it used to be like we would just kind of have a sit down in December about next year. And then the further along we get in business, like the further out we're planning. And so now we're thinking like we still have half a year left and we're thinking about the next year and a half, if not longer, right now. And so instead of having that conversation in December, oh, what should we do next year? Yeah. Like we're thinking about, oh, we really need to be thinking about what's happening after.
But
the
I think for people who are still in that zone, like giving yourself grace that sometimes you only get to think about it in December, because if you haven't launched that particular product or offered those services or sold that thing, you don't have anything to base off what you can expect in the future. Yeah. So we're now in a place where we do have that. We have that data because we've kept track of it, because we have a workflow, because we have a process. It's super easy to just like tweak and repeat, right? Just copy, paste, do it again. So we know, okay, if we do the exact same thing that we did this year, here's how much money we're going to make. Here's how successful it's going to go. Okay, that's solidified. We're golden. Now what other things can we look at in our business?
Yeah, I think originally it was really like we realistically can only see 90 days to 6 months in the future.
Yep.
And then we get 6 months out and be like, oh, like, what are we doing now? And so I think we had to really develop like monthly check-ins and having, you know, meetings like with our business. Like not only are we going to talk about what's happening this month, but we need to start planning out. We need to set aside days to plan out
everything we're talking about on day two of like literally what is the math and what are the questions we ask ourselves to gather that data and then make those plans based off history in your business for future success.
Well, I love it. I'm excited for the 4 days of sexy systems. Share with us just high level to talk about some of the platforms you guys use in your business and how logistically does it work having two people being so active in the day-to-day tasks?
Trello.
Yay.
So Trello is our main like operating system, essentially. Uh-huh. It manages all of our tasks, all of our projects, all of our goals, and how we accomplish things on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. We really started out with like no plan. Like we had, you know, we were working in things like Wunderlist. We were writing things on our own notebooks. And then we were quickly realizing I would call Emily in the middle of the day. What are you working on? How can I help you? Can you do this for me? And like, we were constantly interrupting each other and it was just not productive at all. And so the way we've been able to implement Trello into our business, it allows us to not only get a glimpse into what the other person's priorities are, but I don't necessarily have to interrupt her for things. Mm-hmm. I can tag her and let her know when I have something done or when I need something from her. And it's been working really well for us. Mm-hmm.
What else can you tell us about the 4 days of sexy system? So I know we touched on Trello and you talked about day two, Emily. What else should we know about the challenge?
Well, what we're really going to address, I think the plight of every small business owner, especially creatives, like y'all are hot messes. And I can say that because we are one. Like, you want to do this in your business and you know you need to grow Pinterest and you know you should blog and you know you should have an email list, but you're working on this order and you're working on Instagram and you're working on all these other things. And I get it. And so when we constantly have all of those things floating in the air, right, the balls juggling that you have to maintain, that you have to keep up, if we don't know what we're actually doing to make those systems and those platforms successful, so we don't have a goal, we don't have a plan of action, we don't have any way to measure our actual efforts on those systems, that's when we feel like all of the work we're doing every single day is leading to nothing. And that's when we feel like we don't know what strategy to pay attention to, we don't know where to put our energy. So that's a lot of the focus that we're getting. Like, yes, it's your systems, yes, it's your day-to-day, yes, we're getting you organized, but ultimately at the end of the day, we're giving you that freedom of being able to take that crap out of your brain. You know what it is when you're like in line at Target and you're like sipping on that Starbucks and you're buying all the crap you don't need from the dollar spot and you're like, crap, did I send that invoice? Did I place that order? Did I hit publish on that thing? All of those things that are still off. Right? Exactly. Yeah. All of those things that are living in the back of your brain, we're giving them a place to live outside of your brain. And it's all of the tiny things in your business and the big things. And so overall, like, we're literally just making you less of a frazzled hot mess. So you're going to be able to get more time back in your day. You're going to be able to do the thing, whether you use that to do more work in your business or you use it to spend more time at Target, I don't care, but you're going to get it back and you get to decide how you're going to use it.
Yeah. So on day one, we're really going to analyze, where are you keeping all of your information? Is it on Google Drive? Is it on your desktop? Is it on a notebook? Is it in a planner? Is it like, did you leave it somewhere? Like, where is it?
I can check. Done all of those things.
And can you gather all of that information and start trying to put it in one place? And sometimes I think there's this misconception like, well, my files need to stay in Dropbox. Okay, yes. But do you have a quick way to reference these files? Do you know where they're at? Like, are they appropriately organized? So, like, getting all of this information and kind of gathering it so you have a good scope of where things are at, and then kind of putting it all in one place inside Trello so that you can kind of psychoanalyze your life a little bit. And then day two, we're going to like quickly plan out like strategically
your whole life.
Like, what's your goals for the rest of the year? What do you need to get done? What are your priorities that ultimately drive your business forward? And what's going to lead to profit inside your own business? And then taking that and breaking it down on day three. And how do you say, okay, that's great, I have a lot of grand plans, but literally how am I going to accomplish them and get them done on a day-to-day basis? And so we're walking you through how we always get our to-do list accomplished, and we launch on time every time.
When I'm talking not only always getting our to-do list accomplished, but I'm going to toot our own horns for a second. We accomplished launching a brand new website, launching a from the ground up podcast while I was on maternity leave and Abby was on sick leave for 6 weeks.
Dang.
And a course launch. And it would not be possible without the stuff that we're going over inside the free challenge.
Well, period. I'm super excited because I currently don't use Trello. I use Asana and I'm trying to think of the other ones that I like log into my brain.
See? Yeah. Too many. If it's not one, it's too many. No.
Yeah. Which Asana for the Asana's great now, but I've spent like a hot minute inside Trello. So I'm excited to learn more and see how Trello.
Well, we have a lot of people who are like, I'm never leaving Asana, and still learn from us about Trello and use those same concepts to implement in Asana. So we have a lot of people who do that. So we're not asking you to leave if you don't want to, but it's kind of where all the cool kids are at. So
yeah, no, I'm excited. I just got hooked on Asana early on, and then, but I'm always down to learn new systems that definitely, right? Like, it produces more time for you guys or as the business owner to then outsource and get stuff done and launches and things like that. Anything else you want to add about the challenge or anything else that we should know about it? Where can we find it too?
Yeah. So you're going to go to 4daystosexysystems.com to sign up. And that's the number 4. And
it's free. Yeah, it's totally free. We're going to get started on September 5th. So you're going to take Labor Day off. You're going to come back with a bang, and we're going to jump into this at the beginning of September and get your stuff organized. And then we have a really awesome master class that we're hosting the following week, all about crushing your goals on September 12th. So we definitely want you to save the date for that. It's going to be super awesome. And I just want to reiterate, the system is irrelevant in this situation. Yes, we're using Trello as the main example, but all of the concepts can be carried over to just about any platform.
I love it. I'm pumped. September 4th, people, not September 4th, but relax, come back September 5th and we'll get started too. And you guys are doing a mastermind class after that. So, and then is that one on the 12th, is that free as well, or is that?
Yes, it's
okay.
Totally free.
Cool. That's
90 minutes of planning your business and your life.
And I think, I mean, just another plug too, if people are looking to get started, or you haven't launched your business, or you're just starting out, there's so much free content and amazing things out there, like you guys, like Think Creative Collective, and take advantage of it and their minds and get to know them and things like that. So kind of to help us land the plane, if you will, can you share with us, each of you, one thing for the people who are thinking about starting a business or who just recently launched? What is the one thing that you recommend they do that yields the most return that will impact their business in a positive way?
Create content.
Okay.
Content out your eyeballs. Blog posts, a podcast, videos, I don't care what it is, what medium it is, but you've got to create content to establish who the heck you are, who needs to be listening, and that you have value to add into the world.
And then my suggestion would be to get it out of your head. So regardless of what it is you're working on, you know, if it's a small thing, a big thing, even a day-to-day task thing, I think early on in business, we have a tendency to have a lot of ideas and they swirl, and swirling is not healthy. It just leads to confusion and frustration. And so even if you don't plan to actually implement all the things swirling in your head, I think a daily dump of all the things that are going on in there, planning out tasks, or, you know, just literally like, okay, I need to go to the grocery store, I need to pick up the kids, I need to like wash my hair, like, I don't care. Write it down, because if it's continuing to drive you mad, you won't have the headspace to work on the things you need to be working on.
What is a book that you recommend for the listeners?
Oh my gosh, I'm currently reading Present Over Perfect, and it's literally taking me so long to read it because there are so many knowledge bombs, just like one-liner sentences where I'm like, oh God, that like is my life, and I don't know how I feel about that right now, and so I have to go like reflect on it. It's really, really, really good.
And who's that? That's by, who's that by?
It's by Shauna. I don't even know how to pronounce her last name, so I'm not even going to try, but it's a...
Shauna Noik.
Yes. It's good try. Yeah. It's a New York Times bestseller. You can find it on Amazon. Present Over Perfect.
Perfect. We'll link to that too.
And mine would definitely be Big Magic. I've been reading that lately, and it's all about creative living and going beyond the fear. And I think a lot of us live in that constant fear-based mentality of like failure, or like you just, I don't know. We have self-doubt issues out the eyeballs, I think, especially as women. And that sucks. And so Elizabeth Gilbert goes into great detail about her life. She also wrote Eat, Pray, Love. So if you like that book, you'll like this a lot. It's definitely way more self-help than Eat, Pray, Love was. Like, that's her own like mythical journey of like going on self-discovery. This is more like defining some things, and I really have enjoyed it. It's really made me think about outside the box and been a lot more self-aware.
I echo the sentiments. It's a fantastic book. Okay, talking about 2018, what is one thing you're excited about 2018 that you're planning, and then how do you plan to personally grow, and where are you going to look to up level your business for the next level?
Oh, God. That's the question of the year, I feel like.
I can go first to help you out on that one. So I think as far as where we plan to go, I think it's a big kind of time for us to figure out some internal systems. So we have our, you know, our main program, and it's like went off without a bang. Strategy Academy launched in the last spring. And so now that that's done and created, like, we get to launch that several times next year, and it's going to be awesome. But we get to start like going backwards a little bit and working on some things that were not necessarily broken, but they could just use improvement. So we're going to try to work on some more funnels and some more passive things to back up our big launches. And we're really working towards ultimately having passive income outside of our launch strategy take up 40% of our overall revenue goals. So I think working towards that is going to be massive, but it's also going to be a fun new opportunity. And then what was the other part of the question?
How, as business owners, do you guys plan on investing in personal growth and as CEOs?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. One of the things that like been brought up really recently is like, we suck at being managers, like suck so bad. And so seeking out more books, more conferences, more people to talk to about how to better that part of ourselves and our business. And I think really going, now that we're going into the role of actual CEOs instead of the head of every department of our business now, it's really turned a leaf of, oh, what are we good at in our business? Like, where are we most valuable in our individual roles in TCC? So I think really going on some discovery of figuring that out and making sure we have time to do that role instead of things that we don't need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question I have for you both. If you could wave a magic wand, what would be the next thing that you would outsource?
Oh, God.
Oh, okay.
And you guys can each individually respond. Your faces were so funny. It was like this pause, and then you both like leaned back. You're like, oh.
So I think the thing that we're really working towards is having, on that management side, because that's not necessarily our strength, finding the right person to come in and ultimately back us up as manager, but also be strategic and help us with some planning and organization, because our launches, although they look like seamless from the outside world, they are very intricate and they take a lot of moving pieces. And so we know how it works, but keeping it all in just the two of our heads is not going to work long term. And so I think bringing someone on to really help us be more strategic and manage our growing team is going to be super crucial.
I second that 100%.
Is that okay? So that's just okay.
Yeah.
I lied. I do have one more question. One thing that popped up.
Sure.
So as business owners managing your business, what does it look like to determine, you know, once revenue comes in, how do you decide where to allocate it? What percentage? How much do you decide to keep for yourselves or pay yourselves? And what does that conversation look like and behind the scenes?
That's a great question. We rely on our work husband.
So
our bookkeeper, Parker.
Well, let me tell you what I would have said a couple of years ago, and then let me tell you what I say now. So
I love it.
If you are just starting out and you have, it's just you, or maybe you and like a couple of small VAs, right? Like it's a real small business. Not that that's a bad thing at all, but like you're going out, you're making income. I want you to feel the like reward of this work. And so I really believe in keeping 50% for yourself. And so every dollar that you earn, you keep 50%. you save 30% for taxes, and then you reinvest 20%, whether that be in people, in marketing, in education, in conferences, in systems and tools, however that works out. Now, as our business has grown, that is literally not possible anymore. We definitely do not make 50% of every dollar.
It's possible. It would just be ridiculous.
Oh, well, yeah, it doesn't, I don't think it makes sense anymore. The bigger you get, you have to realize that you're going to need more people to ultimately make that dollar. And so, I think we've just had to be strategic and lean on other people to help us make some decisions. And so,
yeah, like, we rely a lot on Parker because he comes to the table with, he works with, six-figure businesses at minimum who are selling online courses, digital work, right? So he's really used to our life. So he comes to the table with, here's what other people are doing, and here's how I see it working, and here's what I suggest for you. So he comes to the table with a suggestion of, here's how much you should spend for, like, independent contractors. And what, like, it was like 20% or something, and that's even what we're close to.
No, we're not even close to 20%.
So, like, coming in with guidance like that from someone like him is really helpful, because you do look at your business and you're like, do I spend 80%? Do I spend 3%? Like, what is that? And so when he said 20 and we were spending so little, like, I felt like we were just bleeding money for a second, but it really reassured me that, like, no, we're actually on the low end. Like, this means we can invest in this, and really, like, outlining things. And he comes in as that, like, third party of, like, what are some systems that you guys might think you might be outsourcing in the future? Some people, like, let's budget for that in the future so we can expect that. And then based off those expectations, like, putting them into his nice little spreadsheet, it spits out, like, based off our launches, based off our future, here's how much is going to be in the account. Here's how much is there now. Do you want to raise? Do you want more money? Do you want to stay where you're at? And we just have those conversations about what's going on in our personal lives and how much can our business handle?
Yeah, I think we really had to make sure that, I mean, ultimately we were making enough to, like, live appropriately, like, pay our bills.
Like, we started off really small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were paying ourselves, I mean, a reasonable salary, but we actually took a pay cut at the beginning of the year just because, you know, Emily was going on maternity leave. I was sick. Like, we just didn't know how things were going to roll out. And, like, obviously we knew we were going to grow, but, like, we wanted to be really conservative because ultimately we changed business structures. And I think that's really what drove us changing how we were handling money. Yeah. So previously I was a sole proprietor and Emily was technically my contractor. Mm-hmm. And, the way we handled money was so different, but now we're an LLC partnership and we have a S corp. And so because of that, we're on payroll. Mm-hmm. And so we take distributions and it's just a much more complicated, pay structure, but it also saves us money at tax time, which is pretty gravy.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys.
I don't know if that answers your question.
No. That is perfect. I appreciate the behind the scenes and giving that look, just a peek of what to expect. And I love, Abigail, how you gave us what you would have said a few years ago and then how that has changed. And so showing the progression and evolution of moving from a small, small team business owner to continually taking those steps. So, thank you, ladies, so much. Let's round it out. Why don't you recap with us where my listeners can access and find you guys, and then also the 4 days of sexy systems.
Yeah.
So you can hang out with us over on thinkcreativecollective.com. We also have a really awesome Facebook community. And you can access that at thinkcreativecollective.com/community. If you haven't checked it out, we also have a podcast, The Strategy Hour. Mm-hmm. So if you like listening to podcasts, which I'm guessing you might like adding that to your list. So feel free to subscribe. We'd love to have you. And then if you want to get in on this challenge. We are starting very soon. So this starts September 5th, 2017. You can go and get started at 4daystosexysystems.com, and that's the number 4. We can't wait to host you and learn all about your business.
Thank you both, Emily and Abigail. We'll give it up to you guys. Make sure you check them out, and we'll chat you on the next podcast episode.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.